Hi, how are you doing today? So today I want to talk about dynamic timing of tasks. So I have a library that's meant primarily for like Windows services, so like background tasks. But the idea being that they can vary their timing based on what they're experiencing in terms of workload. So a big reason why you'd want to do this is if you're dequeuing, or have a mechanism where you may or may not have work to do. So in the case of a queue, the dequeuer would go and look at the queue, and if it doesn't pull down a message, it would actually determine that there was no work to be done, and therefore slow down over time. So there's a couple models that I've built that enable you to do this. The big one being that you might find yourself, and we're just going to do like a time graph here. So the calls will have varying frequency over time. But the big thing is that they will be able to slow down from, let's say they start at 1 second, and then you can cap it at say like 30 seconds. So least frequency would be 30 seconds. So it would vary between the 1 and the 30 seconds. And as soon as it gets work, it can snap back down to the 1 second, and then again try to slow down. If there was always work coming in, then it would just stay at the 1 second level. So really, really great usage pattern if you're working with queues, especially in the sense that I've done a lot in terms of like dev environments, and then let's say a QA environment, and then a production environment, where your dev and your QA, this time frame that your dequeuers are running is actually costing money. So if production needs to run at a rate of 1 second, that's great. Obviously, it's okay to spend that money. Whereas your dev and your test environments, they really don't need to be that active, especially like at night. Typically, you're not having developers with large workloads that need to be dequeued. So this is really, truly just a cost savings up here, where your server is able to slow down and slowly do the work. Now I'm showing you kind of one of the timings that I have. This is kind of an exponential timing. I also have in my library a linear timing, so that would give you more of like a straight line. Graphing kind of the same data there, where this is the point that it gets work, it goes back to the minimum time frame. There's a couple other ones too. So those are the actual timing patterns. There's also a class that'll let you do an adaptive timing, and adaptive to me means that it's actually going to try to go only one step greater or one step less at a time. So it's trying to find that natural frequency that messages are being entered into a queue, let's say. So at this point it got a message, at this point it didn't, at this point it didn't, and it just kind of works like that. What you're getting is a fairly even pattern of usage over time. And it's really nice because it will come down to the 1 second if it needs to, but if messages are only coming in every 2 or 3 seconds, then it's going to end up following a pattern really close to that every 2 seconds, every 3 seconds, every 1 second kind of timeline going back and forth. So that's really great if you're able to have the frequency back off just slightly. And again, that'll save you quite a bit of cost over the lifetime of your services. So I really recommend looking at adaptive patterns. Adaptive timing patterns, especially when working with a queue. It also, you have to define basically this, so the minimum and the maximum, and the minimum's gonna start at that rate, and it's gonna try to go that fast, but if there isn't work, it'll just keep coming back up to the slower speeds, so that's where you'll get your savings from. But again, you can set these. So if you're concerned that 30 seconds is way too long, you can even put this at 10 seconds. And even that potentially could save you a fair bit of money. And still, again, if your production needs that 1 second, then it's probably going to stay in a pattern way closer to that 1 second. So this is a really great pattern. You can think of using it for a lot of different things where you have data that may or may not be needed to be worked on. But a big thing here is like a queue. And when a queue is empty, do you really want to go and attack that queue at a really high frequency? I hope this was interesting. I'll throw some links to the open source projects where you can look at the source code, or else just grab the NuGet and just implement these. These are really good cost-saving measures that you can do when working with Azure storage queues and also the service bus as well. Thank you very much. We'll chat soon. Have a good day.